I've written on the board, say yes. And I will just share with you when the Lord first began giving me this message, the title of it, and I can show you my notes, it says say no. So you may wonder how we get from saying no to saying yes. And if we'll listen, go a little bit further into the message tonight, I trust you'll understand why they're both applicable. There are things that we need to learn to say no to, but there's a greater power than just saying no to things. And that greater power is found in saying yes to God. I'd like to begin where we referenced this morning over in the third chapter of Daniel. And most of you are familiar, very familiar with the story of the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But I want to read just a little bit of the portion of Scripture to you. It said there, beginning in the 12th verse, "There were certain Jews whom thou hadst set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Now remember that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up a golden image, and the command was everybody must bow down and worship this image. But there were three young men who were not willing to say yes to the king. They were saying no to the king. They were saying, "We will not bow down." And so the people came to Nebuchadnezzar and told him about it. And it said, Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, do you understand that when they said no to the king was not passive about it? When the three Hebrew children refused to do what almost everybody else was doing, the king was enraged. There is a great parallel today. When you choose to do what is right, the devil is not happy. Sometimes people go through trials and battles and they get in the fire and they say, "What did I do wrong?" And maybe the question is, "Lord, what am I doing right?" Because the more you do right, the more the devil is going to fight. It's a fact of life. The more you do for God, the closer you get to the Lord, there's going to be some heavy battles that come your way. And that's why Jesus said, "Rejoice and be exceedingly glad when your name is cast out as evil." He said, "Rejoice." There's one place he said, "Leap for joy." And I'll tell you, it doesn't feel like a jumping matter when it happens. But it's the reason is because the devil doesn't like us doing what's right. The devil doesn't like it when you choose to serve the Lord, when you choose to say yes to God, the devil doesn't like it, and he's enraged. And so King Nebuchadnezzar was in a rage and in fury. He had those three young men brought to him. And he asked him, he said, "Is it true that you do not serve my gods and worship the golden image which I have set to you?" You children and young people, you ever had someone come up to you and say, "Is it true that you don't do such and such? Is it true that you don't go to these places? Is it true that you live like this?" And have you ever got that hangdog experience when someone asks you that question and you kind of maybe just kind of cower just a little bit? These three young men were not afraid to declare their faith. And he said, "Is it true that you're not bowing down to these gods that I've commanded you to?" And the answer of these three young men has been an encouragement to thousands of people through the generation, to people through the generation. He gave them another chance. He said, "I'm going to give you another chance." I believe he may have remembered these three young men. He saw something in their life, and he was going to give them another opportunity. "I'm upset at what you've done. I'm upset. I'm enraged. But even in my rage, I'm going to give you another chance." Well, these three young men told him, they had an answer. They said, "Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee." In other words, we don't need to go confer in the back room together. We don't have to think about it. Why? Because just like the song said, my mind's made up. I've made up my mind. I don't have to go pray about it. You understand? What we pray about is for the Lord to give us the courage to follow through on our purposes. But here, they didn't say, we're going to go pray about it and make a decision. They said, our mind's made up. We don't have to think about it. Because I already thought about it when I made a decision to follow God. And I'm not going to back up. I'm not going to let down. I'm not going to give in. But we're going to stay faithful and true. You can throw us in the fiery furnace, but we have a God who is able to deliver us. And if He doesn't, we're still not going to bow down. We're still delivered. We're going to be delivered one way or another. And the best way to be delivered is just to say yes to God. We're not careful to answer thee, if it be so, our God whom we serve. This went beyond nominal Christianity. I have been around hundreds of Christians who have been persecuted for their faith, but it was in name only. They really didn't have much of an experience with the Lord Jesus Christ, but they were Christians, so they were persecuted. These three young men said, we have a God that we serve. They had had a life of proof behind them. This just wasn't a Sunday experience. They had had some things they had faced in the past that it fortified their faith in God, that had enabled them to stand up and say, we're not careful to answer thee. He said that He is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of thy hand. Do you know this morning, tonight, it doesn't matter. We're not used to being here at night. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what happens. They said He will deliver us out of your hand. In other words, you may put us in the fire and we may burn up, but we're still in God's hands and you're not in control of the result. Young people and children, all of us, if you will say yes to God, you are not in the hands of what the world can do to you. You will make the devil upset with you. The devil is going to tempt you. He's going to try you. He's going to persecute you. But I want to challenge you to say yes to God and know that we need not fear what man can do unto us. We don't need to be afraid of what men can do. But keep your eyes on the Lord, because He's the one that is going to give us the ultimate deliverance. Thank God for that. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. They said no. I'm not going to bow down. I want to challenge again, Lord, help us to be challenged that there are going to be things in life that we need to learn at an early age to say no to. There are things that the enemy would like to cause and tempt all of us to do that are wrong. And if we know it's wrong, don't spend time praying about whether it's okay or not. When you know the Bible says it's wrong, pray that God would help you to do what's right. Pray that the Lord would help you to be strong. But don't spend time praying, Lord, is it okay? I see what this one's doing, and I see that one going there, and I see this one watching that, and I see this one smoking that, and I see this one chewing that. Lord, is it okay? No, it's not okay. I made up my mind. I'm not going there. I know what the truth is, so my prayer is, Lord, help me not to do it. Lord, help me to be faithful to You. But there is power tonight, not in just saying no to those things, but the greatest power is found in saying yes to God. And I find that when the devil brings temptation, start by saying, Lord, yes to You. Lord, I'm going to follow Your way. And then you turn to those sinful things and say no. Many years ago in the 80s, when President Reagan's wife, Nancy Reagan, she kind of popularized the saying, just say no. I don't even know, do they still have that out in the schools? I don't know if they use that slogan as much anymore. But when I was a young person, they had that slogan, was just say no. And you could see it many, many different places. And what they were talking about was drugs. Just say no. Don't entertain it. Don't think about it. Just say no. Well, there are things in our life that we are facing in this world that we need to not entertain, but we just need to say no to them. We just need to eradicate them from our life. We can look at people tonight that have one time known the truth, and see how far away from God they are. And I wonder, how did they get there? Because most of them didn't get there overnight. How can someone know the plan of salvation and have seen the mighty power of God? And you look and see the debauchery and the wickedness in their life. How did they get there? It happened because they didn't say no. They didn't say no to the world. They didn't say no to themselves. They didn't say no to the flesh. And slowly but surely, they just got a little bit closer. A little bit closer to the world. Just a little bit more familiar with the world. A little bit more relaxed with the things that are wrong. Until eventually, they were doing it themselves. And it's why it's so important, and I have a special burden for you young people and children tonight. It's why it's important for you to learn when to just say no to things. If you know it's wrong, purpose in your heart, my mind is made up, even if people laugh at me, there's going to be times people are going to make fun of you for doing what's right. And what they many times happens is people will try to get you on that you're self-righteous. Because they're being condemned by your godliness, and so if they can't get you because you're not doing something wrong, they're going to try, oh, you think you're so spiritual. And they will try to approach it from that way to make you feel bad about saying no to the world. But these three young men that left us such a wonderful example, they said, we're not careful. Our mind's made up. No, I'm not bowing down. At whatever loss, at whatever expense, whatever I have to suffer, I'm saying yes to God. Because He's the one that I'm going to face when I stand before eternity. Lord, help us to say yes. And when you children, young people go out into the world, you're going to be faced with decisions. Peer pressure is real. And I think I've told you all before, but I know what peer pressure is. It's when everybody else around you is doing something and you're about the only one not doing it. These three young men standing there with thousands of people falling down to worship this image, and here they're just standing there. Do you think they were ducking their head? Do you think they were getting as low as they could? I don't think they were. Because they believed in a greater cause. They really believed what they were doing. I think sometimes what people start ducking their head is if they're not really living it, or maybe they don't really believe it enough. But when you believe in God and you're serving God, you young people do not need to be ashamed to say no to the things of the world. You don't need to be ashamed to say no, but say yes to the Lord. Even if everybody else is doing it, stay faithful to God. Peer pressure is real, and I've often think these three young men could have rationalized their way out of this situation. Because I know the thoughts. They were human. I know the thoughts that we could think. And the natural thing is, okay, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, salvation is an issue of the heart. And God, you know that I don't believe that this is a real God. So just so I don't avoid trouble, just to avoid conflict with my friends and family and the people that I'm around, I'm just going to go ahead and kneel down. And Lord, you know in my heart, I'm really not bowing down. You know I'm really worshiping the true God. Isn't that how the mind works? But do you realize that would have put them on the road to ending up without God in their life? Which means they were going to have to be willing to endure persecution. They were going to have to endure the pressures of the people that they were around, because their family members must have been bowing down. And yet they were willing to stay true. I'm not careful to make an answer because my mind's made up. When you make your mind up, it will fortify you in the time of temptation. Just a practical example, and this could apply to so many things tonight. But you look on some habits that are in the world and that seem so filthy. Habits, addictions that are in the world that are so filthy. You think, how could people even want to do that? Do you know many times when it starts, they didn't really want to, but it was because they were around a group that was doing it. It's like, oh, just try it. Come on. Just try it. You know, it's no big deal. And just the first puff on the cigarette, that's what starts people down the road. Makes it a little bit easier next time until someone becomes addicted. And we say, how did that happen? It happened because they failed to say no and stand true. And do you young people and children, you think that could ever happen to you? It can. I could tell you story after story after story of children and young people that have sat right where we sit today. And I see where they are today and we say, what happened? It happened because they didn't say yes to the Lord. And they didn't say no to the things that were pulling in the world. Our decision will fortify us in our experience with God. I want to see all of us make it tonight. I want to see us make it with victory. I want you children and young people, if the Lord tarries is coming, I want you to grow old with victory, with God in your life, that you'll be teaching your children what it means to serve God. And you can do that. But it's going to come by saying yes to God now. By saying no to the things of this world. These three young men, wasn't their first battle, was it? Y'all remember what one of their, at least recorded, I'm sure there are many others, but remember what one of the first recorded battles they faced was? What was it? That's right. Eat the king's meat and drink his wine. That's a whole lot better than lentils. I mean, if I had a choice between beans and a T-bone, T-bone every time. T-bone every time. But they knew. So that meat had been offered to idols. That was the problem. It wasn't that it was meat. It had been offered to idols, and they knew the Lord didn't want him drinking the wine, which meant it was must have been strong drink. The Lord knew he didn't want him doing that, and so they said, no, we're not going to do that. Their life was not necessarily at stake at that point. I think it's the little things in our life as we say no to those things that it gives us the strength and the courage when the big things come along. I look in my own life, I remember probably 15 years ago, 17 years ago, something that I faced in life and it seemed like such a difficult battle. Oh, if that were to happen today, I don't even know if I hardly call it a battle. But at the time, I remember how I struggled. And I remember how difficult it was. You know, the Lord prepares us with little things that we need to learn to say no to. It may not be big things, but if we will learn to say no to the little things in our life we know God doesn't want, it's going to give us strength when the big things come along. But he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Holy means set apart. That's where these three young men were. They were set apart from what everybody else was doing because they had said yes to the Lord. Because they had said yes to the Lord. To me, to live a holy life tonight, it means so often saying no to ourselves. It means saying no to giving in to my emotions and my feelings, my flesh, what feels good, what I'd like to say, you understand, in the flesh. What I would like to say, what I would like to do, what I think would feel good for the moment. Holiness means saying no to myself, and it means saying, yes, Lord, to your way in my life. Yes, Lord. Our greatest defense against temptation is found in saying yes to God. It's our greatest defense is saying yes to the Lord. There are times that we're going to have to say no to other people. There are times that we're going to have to say no to temptation. Remember the story of Joseph? I think it's another beautiful story, another beautiful illustration of a young man, strong, good-looking young man, And he had been sold into slavery by his brothers. And remember, he was taken into Potiphar's house, given control of everything in the house, a place of prestige and position. And Potiphar's wife came along enticing him to sin. And Joseph, his response over in the 39th chapter, his response was, he said, "There's no one greater in the house than I. You know, your husband put me in this position, and he kept back nothing from me." And he said, "You're your wife." But it was the next part that I'm struck with. He said, "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? How can I do that?" It enraged her, made her upset, until she continued to tempt and to tempt. And he said, "No." Until he had to literally flee and run out of the house. And she had his coat, or his cloak, remember? And she used that to lie about him, and so it looked like he had done wrong. And we say, what was the end? Do you remember what happened to Joseph because of that? Where did he end up? You know what, Brother Cook? I wrote that in my notes somewhere. It said he ended up in prison. And I looked at that and thought, wait, he ended up the ruler in Egypt. He ended up in prison because of what he did. He was persecuted. But do you remember, God had a plan in mind? How can I do this thing? I just want to challenge us tonight. When you are faced with temptation, we need to stop and ask ourselves exactly what Joseph asked. How can I do this? How can I betray my Lord like this? And if I have to run, if I have to get falsely accused, if I have to go to prison and have my name slurred because I'm saying no to the enemy and saying yes to God and His truth, are we willing to pay that kind of price? That was where Joseph also found great victory. The Lord used him in the prison, and eventually he became the first in Egypt, second only to Pharaoh himself. He had learned to say no to sin, and he learned to say yes to God. That's why the scripture in James 4:7 says, "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." You notice the order that has it in? So I could have just as easily written no up here. Because, you know, say no. But as the Lord began to talk to me, Lord, I want to say yes. I want to say yes to the Lord and then say no to these other things that are trying to encroach on our life. We are not exempt tonight. None of us are exempt from the evil of the world. We're not exempt. Devil doesn't play fair. Devil is a liar. He is a cheat. He is out to destroy your soul. And he will come along with so many things and make us think that we can handle it. And make us think that, you know what, it's not that bad. And it's not. The devil is a liar. He is a liar. And Lord, help us then to look beyond the moment when we say, "Oh, I want to do this." Remember where it leads. When we start saying yes to the enemy, when we start saying yes to the flesh, it starts breaking down a wall in our life. It starts breaking something down, and it's a whole lot easier. I'll be specific. You think committing fornication happens just immediately? No, not usually. It starts by letting barriers come down. It starts by barriers coming down, and through time, things don't seem quite so bad anymore. Go a little bit further, go a little bit further. Young people, I want to challenge us tonight. Maintain your purity. Don't make exceptions with it. Don't feed on things that aren't pure. Don't look at it. Don't read it. Don't listen to it. But say no to those things, because when we stop saying no is when the enemy starts working in our life. And it's harder and harder then. We get numb to how bad it really is. We can start getting desensitized to the sinfulness of it. But when we can learn, I've made up my mind by the grace of God, I'm going to stay pure. And when you're going and you're out places and mom and dad aren't around, I will tell you, you will be faced with it. I remember times as a young child being faced with some of these very things. I made up my mind, I can't go down that road. I don't want to go down that road. And there is an element of curiosity that everybody has. And that's why I trust Lord help tonight, to get the burden out. The Lord's put on my heart at this moment to share this. If there are questions that you children, young people have, go talk to your parents about it. Go, if there are things that you hear and you see and you're curious and you want to know a little bit more, there are things that we're facing in this world. Go talk to your parents about it. Someone that you trust that can understand. And don't be afraid to open up to your parents because they've been there. And they understand the pool and the, sometimes the curiosities. But I also know, and it's a warning tonight, I know what those curiosities can do to people because I prayed with many a person that has lost something in their soul because they begin to let those barriers down. So we need to make up our mind that I'm going to say no. I'm going to say no to those things and say yes to the Lord. Same way, people are ever first tempted, when young people are first tempted to hide things from their parents. The question is, why are you hiding? What are you trying to keep them from knowing? It starts you down a road of greater deceit and greater deception, and it's a warning to us. I imagine probably almost every young person at some point or another has not wanted their mom and dad to find out something they did. But when people go down that road, we need to just stop like Joseph did and say, what am I trying to hide? Well, I don't want to sin. I don't want to do wrong. Because it's just a warning to us. It's one of those things that if we don't want someone to know, the question is, why not? What is there to hide? What is there for us to cover up? But Lord, help us to say no to those things and say yes to God. And you young people and children, all of us, this is for all of us tonight. Because the devil's not fighting fair. Devil's not fighting fair tonight. And he's trying to work on all of us. Lord, help us to make up our mind. I will not defile myself with a portion of the king's meat. I'm not going to put myself in a position, like they said, he said, flee also youthful lust. I'm not going to put myself in a place where everybody around me is doing something wrong and I'm kind of the odd man out and I chose to be there and it starts wearing down my resistance. This is what holiness is about, being set apart. Don't be afraid to stand by yourself if you're standing with God. And I will say it can be lonely sometimes. Been there many times. It can be lonely standing on truth and leaving your defense to God. Yes, Lord. I'm going to say no. I'm going to say no to carnality. I want to say no to bad attitude. I'm going to say no to the sin that's in the world. I want to say no to the addictions of the flesh. I want to say no to those things that aren't good for me spiritually. But more than saying no to those things, Lord, I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say yes to you, Lord. And there is such great comfort and strength and grace that comes from saying yes to the Lord. Saying no to myself, it's hard sometimes to look beyond the moment. It really is. It's hard sometimes. But in our decisions, let's look beyond what I think I want to do for the moment and look down the road and see what will happen in the future. What will happen in the future? I'd like to close, and again, I'm just going to relate it to you. You're familiar with it, but in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, Moses. He was born, he was raised as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And it said by faith in the 24th verse, by faith when Moses was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather. See, See, he made a choice, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ. There is a reproach in our world to serve the Lord. There's a reproach. But I'm still challenged when I think about those three young men in Babylon, standing not in their self-righteousness, but standing with their head up. No, I'm not going to bow. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. That there are things in this world that can look attractive. And again, I'm repeating what I've told you all in the past. But you children and young people, I want to tell you something tonight in love. There is some pleasure in sin. Okay? There are some things out there that will bring pleasure to the flesh for the moment. But the problem is that it doesn't last. And the problem with it is that it's not only when you die that there's a price to pay. Because the Scripture says the wages of sin is what? It's death. But the gift of God is eternal life. But it's not only in the life to come. I've seen so many times, and I'm sure you have too, the heartache that sin brings in this life. Brings heartache to young people that think that the world has it to offer. And I'm going to go out and find out for myself. And they lose a lot of the precious things that God has given to them when they go out in the world. And then they come back. Sometimes they don't come back. They keep going out looking for more and more, and it never satisfies. You see, there's some reproach, because to be holy means to be different. It means to be set apart. But I just want to encourage all of us tonight, don't be afraid to be set apart. Don't be afraid when you're by yourself or when you face some opposition or you're made fun of or you have people close to you that would do something different. Let's say no to the world and esteem what the Lord has for us greater than the temporary things of this world. There's another song, and I don't know if we sang it today at some point or not. I wouldn't take nothing. Not right English. Not correct English. It says, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. In other words, I'm not going to trade what I have for what the world has to offer, because the pleasure of sin, it's for just a season. And then the season changes and we're left broken with heartache, in despair, without hope. How much better to say yes to the Lord right now in our lives and save ourselves the heartache that the world has to offer. Thank you for your attention tonight. I have found that God's way, it's truly best. It's truly best. So I am not going to conclude with what Nancy Reagan told us about drugs. Just say no. But I want to end by encouraging us tonight to just say yes to the Lord in our life, and therein we will find power to say no to these other things.